We will take our text tonight from Lamentations chapter 3 verse 21. Lamentation 3:21, just one verse for now. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. That's what Jeremiah was saying. So as a thought comes to his mind, he said, I have hope. So tonight I'd like to ask you, when thoughts come to your mind or anything comes to your mind or as you go through your day, what is your hope? What is your hope in? Yeah, I love that song. One of my favorite hymns is that Solid Rock. I think my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, right? Yeah, and then on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. As I was thinking about that song, I mean, how long? We all know that, you know, Christ the solid rock. If we stand on Christ, you know, it's a firm foundation. But how sometime, if we think about it, how long as we see people around us or ourselves sometime before we were saved, that we're standing on sinking sand, but don't realize it until we sink to a certain level, you know, up to our knees, some, you know, up to our waist, and some even up to our neck before we realize that, hey, we need to get out of this situation, or this area, or this part of life that we shouldn't be, to get out in the struggle to get back out and, you know, grab onto Jesus' hand and start to lean on him. So, I mean, hope, that's what tonight, Lord willing, help, and just expand on that a little bit. I mean, what is our hope in? You know, hope is the desire with expectation or with belief in the possibility or prospect of obtaining something. It is a trust with confidence, expectation of a good outcome. Right? So that's what hope is. So, yeah, our hope. So why do we hope? Yeah. Who do we hope in? What do we hope in? I mean, for me personally, our hope should be one in God, right? Our hope should be in Jesus Christ. Our hope should be in salvation. And our hope should be in his words. And our hope should be in his calling. We all have a calling. And our hope should be in Christ's return. So, Lamentation 3:24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Proverb 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. So why should we have hope in God, our God? Well, because he is. He is the one that formed us. He is the breath of life. He is our high priest. He is Moses' voice. For those of you who are shy, so he can be your voice also. So hopefully Friday night, I expect some of you to testify and encourage all of us. So he is Joshua's courage. He is our judge. He is sovereign. He is the stranger in the fire. He is the promise of peace. He is forever faithful. He is our healer. He is our morning song. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. That's why we should have hope in God. All these. Yeah, Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just these are some of the characteristics of God. And that's why I hope in God. And second, Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul was saying here, if we have hope in Christ but doesn't believe in resurrection, then our hope is in vain. Our life is in vain. it means nothing. But we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's why we have hope. And again, why do we hope in Jesus Christ? Well, because He is our Redeemer. He is the Lord, our Savior. He is our Messiah. He is the great missionary. He is our strength and our shield. He is the fountain of life. He is our great healer. He is the arm that carry us through anything that we may face in this life. He is the power of love. He is the grace of God. He is the power that free us from our sin. He is the freedom, from cursed of sin. He is our glorious treasure. He is the servant's heart. He is our mediator. He is our shepherd. He is the everlasting covenant. Of course, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lamb of God. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's our God and our Savior. And He is coming back again for His bride. He is coming back again for you and me. Again, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. And of course, the third, our hope should be in salvation, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. What is salvation? Well, we all know, we use it all the time. Salvation is deliverance from danger, from suffering, and from sin, spiritually speaking. And salvation could be not just from a spiritual rescue, but physical rescue, mental rescue, and anything kind of rescue from God. So that's what salvation is. So Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for this is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, when I was talking salvation as my own personal salvation, I wasn't born in a Christian home like a lot of people do, the privilege of born in a Christian home. So a lot of time when you're born not knowing anything, your hope could be on anything that's shown to you or given to you. And there's a lot of false hope out there. I mean, look at just the world today, or just look at all culture, or just our own city, our own hometown. There's so much confusion, so much chaos, and so much violence, and so much just world full of sin, that everybody's just against one another, and the devil is everybody's falling into his trap there. So again, people is searching for hope. People are searching for hope, and they hope on, again, a lot of time we rely on our own strength, our own confidence, our own ability. And sometime our hope falls onto family, friends, or false teaching, false leader, and false direction. So we have to be careful what we hope and rely on. Now back to, again, I'm so thankful that He not only saved me from spiritual danger, but physical and mental and health. And as I testified before, I can't imagine what my parent has to go through as from a perspective of a child, between 6 and 9 years old, just running through, going through, a war-torn country, running, hiding from place to place. I mean, at least 3 times I was almost drowned. And I'm so thankful that God saved me every one of those time. And I don't know how I survived it or how I was saved from it, but I know it was the hand of the Lord that saved me. And again, what my parents has to go through, what they seen, I mean, that just only God that brought us here, because He has a plan, He has a purpose for us. I mean, I never had a gun pointed at me until I, got to America I think around high school, junior or maybe a little bit after I was saved, my friend and I was playing basketball in our neighborhood, and there's a group of kids, 6, 7, 8 of them came and just beat up, one of our friend there. We don't know what the reason was, and they would just be. And of course, my brother and I tried to intervene and get involved. Of course, and they almost pistol whip us with a gun and just point a gun at us and just tell us to stay back. And again, we could have been in serious trouble there, but the God protected us. The Lord protected us. And again, and not just physical protection. Like I said, I had this a long time ago. Testify about this. I haven't in a while. You know, when I first came to America, I used to have nightmares all the time about, I don't want the word use zombie, people, because, when I was going through the war, through the jungle, you've seen a lot of dead people laying around and stuff like that. So as a child, it follows you through here. So when I got to America, I used to have nightmare, at least weekly, about people getting up, chasing after me. And of course, in your dream, you can't run as fast as you want. You run in slow motion. And the thing that's chasing you is running faster, way, way faster than you. And because I would used to get up and sweat and scream all the time. But you know what? When God saved me, when God delivered me, when I asked Jesus into my life, those dreams were gone. I didn't realize it till later. And, when people, when I hear testimony, I said, you know what? I haven't had these nightmares since I got saved, since God saved me. So again, not just spiritually, but if we have, emotional issue, mental or whatever, God can save you from those. And that's why I like, Brother Earl's testimony when, he used this, I can't believe a kid would just smoke from 10 years old on stuff like that and smoke how many pack. And when he got saved, he stopped that. I mean, that is impossible to do in a world standard or any standard or by yourself. I mean, some of us can't even quit drinking pop, but let alone, smoking nicotine, a pack or two a day. So, and God delivered him from that. That's just so encouraging. Again, so it's just not me, it's everybody. Once you get saved, God can deliver you from anything or any sinful nature, or any bad habits, and he would start to cleanse you and purify you. Now, and I'm thankful for that. So again, we have hope in our salvation. Our salvation is just not for us, it's just for everybody. It's just not for me. And the hope of salvation is God used that for everybody to advance his kingdom. So again, we have hope in God, have hope in Jesus Christ, and of course, we need to have hope in his word. Psalm 119:14. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. His word is our life. It is. His word is alive. You heard that many times. And Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. If you read his word, it will change us. His word judge our heart, our thoughts, our attitude. If we read his word, it will change our thoughts. We can hold our thought captives because the Lord says so. And it will change our attitude. And for the young people, if you have bad attitude, God can change that. Read his word. It will help you. And it will correct our mistake. God's word, the scripture, God himself will teach us about truth. Now we think we know the truth, but God will reveal the truth more and more to us as we read his word, and as we pray, as we draw closer and closer to him. And of course, reading his word will help correct our moral, making moral improvement in our life more and more also. And again, his word will train us in righteousness so that all of us may be complete in our good work also. So again, his word is alive. His word will change our life. His word will correct us in a way that we cannot do it ourselves. But we have to read it. We have to meditate on it. We have to live it. We can't just read it, skimp it, and think it, oh, I'm good, and do our verse for the day or for the month or whatever. God's word is alive. believe that it is alive, because it is alive. So again, and then the next one, we believe our hope is in his calling. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know that this is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Romans 11:29. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. All of us are called to this gospel. Those listening in are called to this gospel. Anybody that born into this world, God formed them. They are called into this gospel. And we have to know that. When the young people did that thing they did on 1 Corinthians, they read the love chapter. But I always like to go for a little bit here, because I have, just in case some of you don't know, I do have twins. It keeps me almost young. So, let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the rest of the part after the love part, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put childish thing away. We are called to do God's work. And we are called for a purpose. When I read that verse, you know, it's great when we are saved, when we first saved, when we have that experience, the salvation. We want to tell the whole world. We want to tell everybody we come in contact with that, hey, what Jesus has done for us. We want everybody to get saved also. But there's a certain point when you have to grow up spiritually, just like my twins. They used just to drink milk only. Now one of them eats anything that's in front of her, you know, chew food and stuff like that. Same thing as a children of God. Once we become saved, yes, we eat. We used to get being fed, spiritually fed. But there's time when we are called. It's time for us to feed other. Time for us to be worker in Christ. And that's what that's one of my my prayer, my thoughts and desire for the last year or so is pray for our young people. We need workers, we need leaders, we need minister, we need pastor, we need music director. It almost seem like not just us but around the world that people are just putting their hope on something else, waiting for somebody else to step up to the plate. They're waiting for somebody else to fill the gap. And sometimes it's an ache, because you know I want to see any church. I want to see everybody flourish. I want to see our church flourish and grow. And not just in number. Number doesn't matter. But spiritually, you know, reaching out to other. So again, we all have a calling. Just don't say that, well, no, I'm just called to do this. I'm just called to come to church. No, yes, you are called to come to church. But you are called for so much more. Now, don't settle for just, you know, come to the church and that's it. And yeah, it's enough. No, that's enough. Jesus has a whole lot more for you and I. You know, so, and then our last one, our hope is in Christ's return. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Are you ready? I'm sure most of you here are, and if you're listening on a Tuesday night, you are ready. But do you have the urgency to draw or to reach out to your neighbor or family or friend that are not saved? Are they ready? Do you want them to be left behind? I know it's difficult. It's hard for me. I have family members that are not saved. or don't want. It's how do I approach them? Or I approach them once or twice already and they reject it. But we have to love them enough to care enough because Jesus is coming back soon. You know, if you love them enough, you don't want them to be, leave behind. Yes, it might sound like be nagging, but we have to pray through that God give us the discernment and the wisdom to reach these people, especially a family member or our neighbor. When's the last time we go to, and then speak to myself too, to our neighbor and share the gospel or invite them to church? Because Jesus is coming back soon. Because our hope is, again, in Jesus Christ. You know, well, in God, in Jesus Christ, in our salvation, in His words and His calling and His return. And He is very, and He's returning very soon. And I hope that everybody is ready for His coming. So tonight, if you are not ready for His coming, there's an opportunity to come down and pray and give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you are already saved, it's an opportunity to grow closer to Him too, to get your sanctification and to get your baptism. But you can always grow closer and closer to Jesus Christ. If you're stepping backward, then search your heart. Ask God to search your heart what you need to do, you know, to get closer and closer to God. So tonight, the altar are open for prayer. I welcome you to come and pray for one another and pray for unsaved ones, and we hope that everybody can come to know Jesus Christ before He comes back again. And the song of invitation is 123.